Hare Krishna. Knowledge in ignorance is tiny, at best vastly tiny. Knowledge in ignorance, this phrase sounds like an oxymoron. Oxymoron is a figure of speech in which two contradictory seeming words are placed next to each other to convey a deeper meaning. Actually, this title has two oxymorons. Vastly tiny is also an oxymoron. So, let's look at these oxymorons one by one and see how they reveal a deeper meaning. So, knowledge in ignorance. These knowledge and ignorance seem to be contradictory. So, how can there be knowledge in ignorance? Actually, the Bhagavad Gita, which uses this word phrase in 18.22, uses the word ignorance in a special sense. Normally, ignorance refers to the absence of knowledge. But in the Bhagavad Gita uses it in the Tamasam Udharitam, knowledge in ignorance, or more completely, knowledge in the mode of ignorance. So here, it refers to a particular kind of perception that it obsesses with one fragment of reality and remains blind to the most of reality. So it is a freakishly fragmented mode of perception. And because it is in centers of being aware of only small piece of reality, that's why it's called as such knowledge in ignorance is tiny. Now let's see what 18.22 Bhagavad Gita says. Yattu pichnavade kasmin karye saktamahaitukam atatvarthavadalpamcha tattamasamudharutam. Yattu krishnavat, krishnavat means everything. Ekasmin, to consider one thing to be everything, is fanaticism. Krishnavade kasmin karye saktam ahaitukam. Karye saktam, and one becomes attached, obsessed to one particular activity, ahaitukam, without understanding properly the situation, the causal factors, without understanding what is the goal of life. Atatvarthavat, where there is no understanding of the truth. And alpamcha, it's very minor, very meager. So, tattamasamudharitam, that is knowledge in the mode of ignorance. So now, what are the examples of this kind of knowledge in the mode of ignorance? One prominent example will be scientific materialism. So, scientific materialism, what does it mean? That actually, science, it adopts materialism as a starting presumption. That means, when scientists want to investigate natural phenomena, they frequently start with the assumption that we will look for natural explanations for natural phenomena. We will not want to look for any supernatural explanations. This is sometimes called as methodological materialism. So scientists, when they adopt this methodology, they assume that there are no factors beyond matter which are influencing the actions of matter. So, and that's how they try to find material causes. Now, using this methodological materialism as an approach, science has made significant strides. So much so that the scientific knowledge acquired over the last few centuries now occupies thousands upon thousands of books. So then how can such knowledge be considered tiny when it is actually so vast? Yes, it is vastly tiny. Vastly tiny means that it is definitely large, but it is large but within a tiny fragment of reality. As a materialistic science, it keeps itself reduced, restricted to only one part of reality, that is material reality. Now the Bhagavad Gita explains that actually there are three levels of reality. There is the gross material reality, the subtle material reality, And then there is spiritual reality. So gross material reality is the body that we have. Subtle material reality is the mind. And spiritual reality, the soul and Krishna. So now, it is only when we expand our investigative lens to encompass all of reality and to especially focus on Krishna, who is the sustainer of all levels of reality, that our knowledge can become truly meaningful and fruitful. Because ultimately, you know, we can know how to make a road, how to fly in a plane. All these things are good. But ultimately what we know is, what we want meaning and fulfillment in life. What am I living for? I want to be happy in life. How can I become happy? So, that meaning and fulfillment will come only when we understand the full reality and understand our role in that reality in relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, our life will remain meaningless. In fact, rigid materialism will sentence us to a meaningless existence, wherein if we just assume that materialism is true and there is no non-material dimension to life, then what is our existence? We are just lumps of matter who have suddenly become alive somehow. How matter can become alive is itself inexplicable. But somehow, lumps of matter will become alive. And now we are being pushed inexorably from one infinity of nothingness, of pre-birth nothingness. Before our birth, we did not exist. So, from one point which before that, pre-birth nothingness. So, we took birth. And then, time is pushing us inexorably towards debility, disease, destruction, death. And then after that, there's post-death nothingness. So, life becomes so totally meaningless. And do we want such meaningless as the ultimate fruit of the search for meaning? Not at all. If we don't want that, then we have to understand that meaning is found at the spiritual level. So if we, rather than entertaining such knowledge in the mode of ignorance, we cultivate knowledge in transcendence. That means we cultivate knowledge about Krishna, we study the Bhagavad Gita and understand the worldview that it gives. Then in that worldview, we can understand the meaning of purpose of life. We can understand our spiritual identity and we can understand our glorious eternal destiny. And we can gradually attain that destiny. So, now devotees, when they understand the complete reality and when they understand Krishna, then how do they see this scientific knowledge? And then they see that it is also a testimony to Krishna's glory. Because material energy is only one energy of Krishna and it's a relatively insignificant energy. And if that energy, if the study of that energy itself can be so rewarding, can study so much and write so much and understand so much, then how much more rewarding will be the study of the complete reality of the source of this material energy, that is Krishna. So it is to that supremely rewarding study that the Bhagavad Gita invites us. Thank you. Hare Krishna.